Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a good night to be in church. Amen. It's a good night to be in church. It's good good night to hear the word of God, to get all God's got for us, because he's got some good things for us. Amen. I'm so thankful for the office of pastor. You know, as I have a pastor, and I'm excited for that. I'm always happy for that, because one thing I've learned in my life is how all my blessing is attached to the man of God that God set me up with. And if that man of God happens to be a woman of God, that's fine too. But mine just happened to be a man of God. Amen. And we know the difference around here, so it's exciting. But praise God. But I'm so excited for the office. Not just for the office on the pastor that is my pastor, but also the office that's on me, the office that I carry. And the reason I bring that up is because it helps me as I go through life. Amen. That same office that helps you, that same office that teaches you, teaches me. And see, this is why we get excited for the gifts that God has given the body. Because it's not a man or a woman, but it's the gift that he places on that man or woman. And it's something that we can't get by ourselves. It's something that we can't make up by ourselves. You know, just because you want to be a pastor doesn't make you a pastor. You have to be called, and then you have to be proven, and then you're chosen. Praise the Lord. And thank God for that. Thank God for people who walk those out, that out. You know, and I don't just say that because I'm standing here in front of you today as a pastor, but I'm saying that again because I'm excited for the office. You know, it took me becoming a pastor to really realize realize the importance of the office. And so I say this, but I'm continually thankful for my pastor, and I let him know sometimes, and he makes fun of me for being goofy and stuff like that. But I'm being serious. I love my pastor. I've fallen in love with my pastor, not in a weird way, in a godly way. Hallelujah. I love everything that he imparts into my life. Even, you know, I just sat in his service on Wednesday night, and I sent him a message afterwards, just saying, I was like, Pastor, you know, that was just an incredible message. And just thank you for preaching that, praise the Lord. Because it changes lives, amen. You help me, gives me my direction, my correction, amen. Well, praise the Lord, that's free, no charge, but that's a good start, amen. God is good tonight, and you know, another thing I love about the way that I've been raised up in the church is I've been taught to seek the Lord for a message, that we don't just do messages because it sounds good. We don't just come up with some message. You know, it always amazes me in people in our camp. You know, you go to sometimes the people, and I'm not talking bad about other denominations and stuff like that, but people who say don't seek the Spirit for the message, maybe they just preach on the same scriptures that everybody else is preaching on that time of year. You know, and that actually happens in a lot of churches, and they have 12 and 14 minute sermons, and sometimes even all the way up to 20 minutes. Praise the Lord. Maybe if they're really into it, they may get up to a half an hour. You know, it amazes me as we come together that you could take a person like me who couldn't come up with three words that were good but on his own, and I can preach a message for an hour and a half without stumbling, without problem. And the reason for that is because of the Spirit, because I seek the Spirit. And when we seek the Spirit gives us things that we don't have naturally. Amen. And that's why a lot of times there's a lot of people, not talking bad about them, it's just the way that it is. There's a lot of people that go without because they're not getting fed. And see, the Spirit will feed you. The Spirit will feed you with understanding. The Spirit will feed you with knowledge, things that you didn't know before. The Spirit will feed you with this constantly. And the Bible tells us that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Hallelujah. These are the children of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. Well, how many know that it's not hard to be led, but so many people aren't led. They don't even know what being led means. And if you say that, they think you're weird and goofy. But see, the truth is that's the word, and that's what we have. And if we go by the word, then we have a lot more than others have. And it isn't because we're special, it's because we're just doing the word. Amen. And if we get into the word and we seek all God, praise the Lord, this is good. Hallelujah. But if we just get into the word and we seek all God has for us, he's going to put it into us. And see, there's something that comes with hungering for God. You know, when I was thinking about this pre-service, that you know, to so many people, church is an option. You know, do I go today or do I not go today? Or I'd rather not go today. But see, when you grow up in the faith and you learn something, you learn that church isn't an option anymore. And it isn't because it's required of you from the pastor or required of you to be a member of family church or anything like that. But you realize the importance of it. Just like you realize the importance of eating every day, just like you realize the importance of drinking water when you need to. You know, if you don't do these things, eventually you start having problems. You start having issues. If you don't take the right vitamins, if you don't put the right things in your body, if you're deficient in areas, then your body lacks and your body goes without as a result. Well, the same thing with our spirits. If we're not feeding our spirits continually, then we're not eating the things that God has for us to sustain us. And the Bible says that we would not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Praise God. And because of that, we understand that God has a lot of things for us in there that we can't get any other way. Amen? And so we get that by coming together. There's also something about coming together. Why am I saying this? You're all here. Well, praise the Lord for you. You came out, and you came out right. You heard from God, right? But see, God's got things for a lot of people that don't, just because they love God or they say they love God, doesn't mean that they're going to receive all that God has. Just because God loves them doesn't mean they're going to receive. There's people out there that are constantly without because they aren't receiving from God. They're not getting the download that God has for them. And see, we don't say this and put anybody in any kind of bondage, but we realize that, wait a minute, when you're connected to something, you need that lifeblood, amen? Yeah. If all of a sudden your heart started stopped pumping blood to the rest of your organs, there'd be an issue, amen? You wouldn't be smiling too much. You probably wouldn't be sitting up at all. You'd be blue and on the floor. See, your heart needs to pump that lifeblood into you. And the same thing with the spirit, we need to get that pumped into us. Well, praise God. That was all free, no charge as well. And that's not even the message, but it was good. Tonight's message, we're going to be talking about continually coming to God. Hallelujah. Continually coming to God. You know, I'm really stirred tonight. I'm really excited. And what you just experienced was an awesome flow of the Lord. All that I just spoke to you was prophetic. Praise the Lord. In nature, it was inspired utterance. God just stirred it up in me, and it just started coming out, and I couldn't stop. Amen. I couldn't stop till the end. Well, now we're at the end of that. We're going to begin something else. So this is good. Amen. Continually coming to God. It's really important that we understand that, you know, coming to God isn't just a one-time event. Amen. But before I get into the sermon, I want to share something with you this afternoon. I was in prayer this afternoon, and you know, a lot of times as a Christian and as a pastor, it doesn't matter as a Christian, you're going to deal with thoughts, you're going to deal with feelings, you're going to deal with things. Amen. I mean, God had me convinced, or not God, I'm sorry, the devil had me convinced by the time I got here that nobody would be here tonight. I'm not saying you really had me convinced of that, but that was very real in my heart and in my mind, you know, inside me. It kept coming up, you know what I mean? But I knew that wouldn't be the truth. I knew that there would be at least a faithful few, and there's a faithful bunch, amen? We're blessed by that. But you see, the thing is the devil always works in the realm of thoughts, and getting you to think things, scenarios that aren't true. And see, as we dwell on those things, as we choose to dwell on those things, that can take us under. It can keep us down. It can keep us from rising up where God has intended us to be. And so this afternoon, I had a lot of this pressure pushing against me. And that's not uncommon. Generally, before I preach a sermon, there'll be a lot of spiritual pressure. In fact, if there's not spiritual pressure, sometimes I have to question whether or not I'm actually in the will of God or not, because the devil will always oppose things that are good. Now, because I say that, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, oh, you know, feel bad for me or anything like that. No, it's just part of the office. That's part of the thing. But God's made me more than able to get beyond it. And so I will. Praise the Lord. And so will you. But see, we have to choose to do that. And one of the ways that we choose to do that is by praying. And of course, I was praying in the spirit. I wasn't just praying what I know, because I didn't know all that I needed to know to pray out. So I was praying in the spirit. And as I was praying in the spirit, some words started coming to me. And so I hit the button on my phone. I have it mounted to my windshield, my truck now. So I can just press the button. I don't have to be distracted by what's going on by the road and all that stuff. You know, all the drivers, and I don't have to be distracted by all them. No, I mean, I don't have to be distracted by the phone. Amen. And I just hit the button and I start talking, and she pretty much hears what I say, Siri I'm talking about, and writes it down for me. And then I have to go back later and translate it, because she never hears the words right. But I got the gist of it, or I got the bulk of it. And I wanted to share with you what I heard in my spirit this afternoon. It's easy in life. See, it says easy in light. I didn't fix that part. It's easy in life to focus on the abundance of lack or the appearance of it. If there's anything the Word of God teaches us, it's that we can do a lot, or that He can do a lot, excuse me, with a faithful little bit. Be encouraged if you see a little, because it only takes a little to move a mountain. Praise the Lord. We have to remember this. We have to remember this about our God. God never did major, wonderful things with a bunch. He changed the world with a handful of people. Actually, he changed the world with one man, praise the Lord. But he can change the world with just a little bit, just a little bit of faithful. Just one person deciding, you know what, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to, and if I don't do it all perfectly today and I learn differently tomorrow, well, then I'll just change. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to get behind. I'm just going to keep going. See, it doesn't matter if you make a mistake. It doesn't matter if you don't have everything that you think that you need. I mean, you know, maybe you're sitting there saying, I want to pay off the church, but you just don't have the finances. Well, you just be faithful with what you can. You know what I mean? Maybe you're saying, well, I wanna be able to help more here or help more there. Well, you just do what you can, praise the Lord. See, it's not about having a lot. But see, as we are faithful with the little, God always increases that. I said, as we're faithful with the little, God always increases that. So he will take what little bit that we have. Now, as a pastor, I deal with this on a continual basis. And I can tell you, as a pastor, this can be an attack for a pastor. It's to always, you're always trying to convince people to be hungry for the things that you're hungry for. The things that the Spirit has shown you. When the Lord has put something on your heart, you come running in. You're like, hey, guys, listen to this. And some people are like, "Woo, hey, that's exciting." And some people are like, you know, they're just like, oh, okay. Some people are like, well, you know, but there's a picnic. Some people are like, well, it's a nice sunny day. Some people are like, well, you know, I got other things to do. Praise the Lord. I've said this before. I got people call me pastor. I don't see them half the year. I'm not their pastor. I want to be their pastor. I would love to be their pastor. But they're choosing. See, the thing is, it's a two-way street. And the same thing with God. It's always a two-way street. We decide whether or not we're going to be connected with God. We decide. He doesn't decide it. I said he doesn't. We decide it. Now, we're going to see something here. I want you to just go ahead and look up here. John 6:44. You know, we wouldn't go all night without having scripture, praise the Lord. John 6:44 says, no one can come to me, and this is Jesus talking, unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now see, this is interesting, because Jesus said that no one can come to him unless the Father who sent draws him. But see, coming to God isn't a one-time event. What Jesus is speaking about is salvation. See, the first step is to be drawn in. The first step is to have a realization that you need the Lord. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. But see, coming to God is a continual process that lasts our entire lives. We see this all through Scripture, but and we're going to see some tonight. But coming to God, desiring God, wanting what God has for us is entirely up to us. Some people get saved. They come into church. They get saved. They have a miracle. We had Testimony Sunday with amazing miracles that have happened. Lives turned around. But do you know that it is up to every single one of those people to continue in the will of God? Every single one. I have a wonderful testimony. I choose daily to walk in it. I choose daily to walk in it. I could stop going to church, and it would all end up in naught. And what I mean by that is the testimony would still be there. Yes, I was still faithful for a time. But see, the thing is we have to continue to be right. This is why people, a lot of times, the devil will convince people. He will allow people to get blessed, or he will move things into their lives. Like, for example, people be seeking a job. I'm seeking a new job. And so I don't have one. But I come into the church, and I've seen this so many times. I've seen it so often that people come into church and they don't have anything. They're broken. They're defeated. They're completely in lack without. And they start serving and they start getting faithful and they hear the word and they love it and they just eat it up. And they're like, yes, this is the truth. This is the way that I want to go. And they start going down that way. And then all of a sudden it opens up a job. But maybe it's on a Sunday morning and they take them out of church. But see, people, they don't have enough sense to know that that isn't of God. God isn't going to remove you from the place that he's given your blessing. And I'm going to tell you right now, I would sooner be poor, naturally speaking, and I've been in this place, chosen this, and be rich spiritually than to be rich naturally and to be poor spiritually. You know, especially when the trial comes, especially when the trouble comes, and in my life I've seen an abundance of both. But I'm going to tell you, I've also seen an abundance of victory, and it is because only because I continue with God. And see, it's a choice that we all make. Do we continue seeking God? Do we continue hungering for God? Are you as hungry today as you were when you first came in? Praise the Lord. We have to stir that up. It's our choice. Hunger doesn't just stay. You have to stir it up, not spiritual hunger I'm talking about. You have to stir it up. There's a world that wants to distract you of all kinds of things that are going to happen. It wants to take that away from you. But we have to understand, we have to stir that up within us. Why? Because we can't see the power of God unless we come to Him, unless we stir it up, unless we decide. You know, it's easy when you're in the ministry to get distracted by everything that's going around you, to be distracted by projects. But what about God? You need to still seek God. You need to still take that time and get before the Father and find out what He has for you, what He wants for you. Praise the Lord, because God is good. But no one can come to Him unless the Father draws. So we know that Jesus, that people need to be drawn in first. They need to have that, they need to be drawn in, but then they need to decide to stay there, because God doesn't force Himself on anyone. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't you turn with me to Hebrews 11:6. You know, this is a scripture that we preach on in many different forms, and I've preached on it many different times. And I think we're going to come at it from a slightly different angle. And this is, in preparing this message, this scripture, it's interesting because there was a line in the scripture that kept coming up in my spirit. And that's part of how I knew that it was going to start being the direction. And this is what I built the sermon on, amen? But Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." What kept coming up in my spirit was, "For he who comes to God." For he who comes to God. Now we see this here, that this isn't talking about salvation. How do we know it's not talking about salvation? Because if you're coming to God for something, if you're diligently seeking Him, you already believe in God. You're already there. You're already on that path. We also understand that at first you have to be drawn in. But see, here we see a different thing. This is coming to God. This means continually coming before the Lord, continually coming before God and saying, "Lord, this, Lord, that," praying to the Lord, seeking God, seeing what He has for you, getting into the things that God wants for you. Praise the Lord. That's what this is talking about. And see, this is a great faith chapter that we're reading out of here. Hebrews 11 is considered the great faith chapter. It tells us all we need to know about faith. It explains it all for us. But see, we understand that without faith, it is impossible. And so we have to understand, the first thing is obviously, without faith, if you don't believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, then you're not going to come, and it's impossible to please Him. See, God doesn't just want us to come to Him. He wants us to come to Him expecting. He wants us to come to Him believing. He wants us to come to Him in full assurance that when we come to Him, He's going to answer us, and that we're going to have the petitions that we ask of Him. This is what faith is. This is how we please our Heavenly Father. And what happens when we please God? We get what we want. Amen. Is there anybody that you please that doesn't give you what you want? How many people have learned this and manipulated it in life? How many people out there in the world manipulate this on a daily basis? If you make somebody happy, if you say the right things, if you do the right things, you will get what you want. Well, see, it's kind of the same way with God, only it's a righteous thing, not a manipulative thing, you know? You go to God and you seek Him, you please Him, and God wants to pour out more. See, God is always, the Bible tells us that His eyes are searching to and fro on the earth, looking who He can bless. He's looking back and forth on the earth constantly. God is spending eternity up there looking back and forth, saying, "Who can I bless? Who's going to be faithful? Who's going to seek me? Who's going to hunger for me? Who's going to be the one who will draw that power in? Who is going to be the one?" I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be the one. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to be the one. I don't care. I don't care if my wife doesn't do it. She does. But I'm just saying, I don't care if she doesn't do it. I ain't going to let that be an excuse for me to get what I know I need to get from God. Hallelujah. Why are we going to let others dictate what we're going to receive from God? We don't need a church of 10,000 people to say, "Hey, we're going to move together." We need a church of one or two that are hungry for God. We need somebody who is going to draw on that spirit to come to God and say, "Lord, I want what You have." Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. To diligently seek. It means, I look this word up, and I love doing this. I love looking the words up, because sometimes you really get into you always get into the meat, and it always means so much more than just what you see. And why is that? That's because those languages were expressive, our language is boring. Amen? That's just the simple way you can put it. But praise the Lord, we have concordances. Diligently seek. To seek out for oneself, beg, crave, to demand back, require. You don't need to continually receive salvation, but you do need to continually walk in it. You need to continually walk out yourself. We're going to see that in a minute. But look at that. It means to beg, crave, to demand back. I love that. Demand back. What's been taken from you? What's been lost over the years? No, I require. I demand it back. Maybe I spent years without God. Well, I demand that back. I demand those years back. I demand the time to get into the things of God. I demand that stuff. See, diligently seeking God is about you're after it wholeheartedly. You're after it because there's... See, if you're diligently... I'm going to tell you that 90% of the church world, maybe it's a good figure. It's probably about that. But 90% of the church world doesn't diligently seek God. Probably a good 70% of a taught church world, like y'all are, praise the Lord, don't diligently seek God. Maybe more than that. I don't know. I'm just throwing figures out there, but I know it's a high percentage. How do I know that? Because there's a few people that will say, I'll do anything. I'm serious. There's only a few people say, I'll do whatever it takes. There's a few people that say, Lord, whatever you want. You want my house? I'll sell my house for you. You want my car? I'll sell my car for you. Praise the Lord. You want me to do whatever I got to do? You want me to move here and do this and preach the gospel? I'll do that. Yeah. You see, not everybody's willing to do that. I was talking with my good friend, Reverend Scott Wise, today. And I said, you know why the Lord blesses us? I said, because we're willing to do. We prove it time and time again. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just telling you what I've learned. I've learned it from faithful people that showed me. And because I saw the blessing on their life, I wanted that same blessing. So I decided that I'm going to walk that out. That's why the Lord blesses me. The Lord blesses me aside from everything else that's going on in life. Whether I have $1 million or whether I have 10,000 church members, doesn't matter. God's going to bless me no matter what. Why? Because I'm faithful to God. I said there's few people that will do whatever it takes. There's few people in here that I could correct with godly wisdom. I'm telling you the truth. I mean the truth. I can see in life sometimes problems, and there's few people that I can go up to and say, this is what you need to do, and have them not get offended at me and leave. I know that by the Spirit. See, because you can, if you get offended when you get corrected, if something is going to take you from where God has planted you, where you know that you're supposed to be, praise the Lord. One of my jobs actually in Scripture is, the Bible tells me, to show them in which ways they are wrong. Yeah. That's what I do when I preach. Show you. Listen, you're not always right. I wasn't always right. I'm not always right. I need correction on a continual basis. Why? The Lord corrects me. My pastor corrects me. Why? Because they want me to move into the things of God. But see, there's so many people that are such lilies that if you corrected them, well, they're out the door. Oh, I can't believe he told me that. I can't believe Pastor suggested that. Well, praise the Lord. If it's a word, what do you care? If it's going to make you better, what do you care if it's going to make you better? Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're excited about that. But see, that's the truth of the word. And see, we have to talk to people. We talk to people about being in church, about coming to God. We don't do that because we want a big church service. I know, because I have things that the Lord puts in me that he wants to deliver on people on a Friday night, on a Sunday morning, and they don't show up. They don't receive the things. And then they come to me, and this is a continual thing. Part of what I have to do is walk with people who are stubborn, that don't want to walk. And I'm not saying everybody. You understand what I'm saying, but I'm saying that's just part of what pastoring is. It's not just me. It's just pastoring everywhere. That's part of what my pastor deals with. It's like you try to lead them down this path, and they're like, no, I want to go this way. And you're like, no, you got to. This is the way of blessing. This is the way you got to do it. How many people have kids? Do you know what I'm talking about? Aren't you constantly, or weren't you constantly like trying to, no, don't do that, don't do that. And what are they to keep going back to? Church is the same way. You tell people spiritual things and they reject it. You tell people spiritual things. I'm not saying everybody. You understand that I'm not just saying that everybody is bad and everybody's always doing bad. But I'm saying that people, they only want what they want. And when it truly comes down to, you know, truly serving in the body of Christ is being willing to do whatever it takes, whenever it takes, as much as it takes it, as often as it takes it, until you go home to be with the Lord. That's true serving. That's what Christ did. Praise the Lord. That's what I strive for. Praise the Lord. Whatever it takes, whenever it takes, doesn't matter how you feel. I remember a time when I was catching as an usher. I was an usher and I was catching and I could barely tie my shoes because my back hurt so bad. But what did I do? I didn't cry because my back hurt bad. I still caught. Now listen, I wasn't creating more injury in myself either. So you do have to be careful of that. You know, there is wisdom to use, but I'm just saying that I pressed through the pain. I pressed through the uncomfortable things. Why? I served every single time I got. I remember the Lord speaking to me. One time I went to a Dr. Dufresne meeting up in Mississauga, and the Lord reminded me, because at the time I was an usher, and God doesn't, when he puts something on you, he puts it on you. And I remember the Lord speaking to me, and I remember my spirit knowing. I'm like, listen, I'm an usher, whether I'm in Jamestown, whether I'm in Mississauga, whether I'm in California. It doesn't matter where I'm at. When I was in Brazil with Pastor Dad, I was still an usher. Why? Because that was the office that I walked in at the time, if you want to call it an office. That's what God had me doing. And so I took it seriously, and that's I was just always on. I decided to always be on. My phone, the entire time that I served my pastor, and even still, was on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Why? Because the work of the Lord doesn't stop. There could be a moment when he had need of me, and I didn't want to miss that phone call. It would, if I saw that I missed a phone call from my pastor back in the day, it horrified me. I mean, horrified me. Why? Because my heart was to give him do anything. Serving God. Jesus said that how you serve them is how you serve him. Praise the Lord. He says, do all things as unto the Lord. Therefore, how I serve my pastor, how I serve my friends, how I serve my spouse, how I serve my children, how I serve is how I serve God. How I serve my boss is how I serve God. See, a lot of people would be doing things a lot differently if they realized that how they served, they were serving God. If Jesus came in here today, what would you do? Would you straighten things up pretty quick? Praise the Lord. Now, I've been guilty of this too. You know, the boss walks in the room, like, you know, what am I going to do? You know, he's cleaning things up, put the phone away. You know what I'm talking about. But see, that's the truth. That's the way it is. People have lost sight of this fact. They've lost sight of this idea of serving their fellow man. It's all about me anyways. It's all about what I want anyways. Well, praise the Lord. But see, if we're going to diligently seek God, if we're going to diligently come to God, we have to do these things. We have to be hungry for the things of God. We have to stir ourselves up, and we have to realize that it's something that we are going to continually have to decide to do. It isn't something we're going to do one time. Praise the Lord. But I started to say you don't need to be to continually receive salvation, but you do need to continually walk in it. Turn with me to Philippians 2:12. Praise God. I love the Word of God because the Word of God always sets us straight. Amen. The Word of God always puts it in us. It puts us to the truth in us. And if I sit here and preach the Word of God, well, you can't get mad at me. All you got to do is get mad at God. I said, all you got to do is get mad at God because he wrote it, not me. Amen. He just told me to preach it. Well, praise the Lord. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, isn't that what I was just talking about? Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. You could also say to walk out your own salvation. Working out is just doing the things that it's got to do. You know, walking it out is the same idea. Work out your own salvation. Walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Does that mean that all of a sudden God said that he has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind? Does that mean now all of a sudden we got to be afraid? No, that's not what it's talking about. That word fear is the same. It's a reverence. It's an understanding that there is an importance to it. You put a weight on it. It means something to you more than just something you can throw to the side that you can have today and not tomorrow. Your own salvation is to be worked out, hallelujah, with fear and trembling. That means you are supposed to realize that there is something to it. There is something more than just coming to church on Sunday. Maybe on Friday nights twice a month. There is something more to salvation than just going to church, being in church for an hour. I've said this before. People are getting their life fed to them through the church, through hearing a message. And yet people will struggle sitting there for an hour and a half or an hour really the message, most messages are preached between 50 minutes and an hour, closer to an hour generally. But praise the Lord, I strive for 50 minutes. But really, and people sit through a movie that puts nothing in them but garbage. And I don't just mean any movie. I mean, it's not wrong to watch movies, but people will literally sit through trashy movies that put garbage into them, and they have no problem. Why? Because they're being entertained. Because they're not stirring themselves up. But they think that it's some kind of chore to come to church. Some kind of chore to sit in church. Now listen, this isn't a, I'm not saying this is a problem in this church or just in this church or just, it's a problem in the church in general. It's the church world. It's the way people think about church. It's when congregation members try to tell the pastor, well, you're preaching a few minutes too long and I don't like that. I got something I got to get to, you know, and that's pretty important. And then they wonder why their family doesn't get saved. You know why? Because you don't put importance on the things that are important. See, coming to God is seeking Him out and saying, Lord, I'm hungry for You. And part of showing and telling God that you're hungry for Him is showing Him that you actually mean what you say. Because God doesn't believe what you say. I have all kinds of people saying, oh, Pastor, I love you. But when I need them, they're not there. Yeah, because this is a two-way street. Pastoring is a two-way street. You know, there's times when you need to be there for me in prayer. There's times when you need to be there for me when you say, you know what? I'm not going to fight this thing. I'm going with it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. See, going, you know, and I'm not talking about giving gifts and stuff like that. I'm not even talking about stuff like that. I'm just talking about being ready, willing, and able to receive the word. Do you know what it's like to preach a message when people don't want to hear it? Oh, it's like hell on earth. I'm telling you right now. It's the worst thing in the world. I never want to preach messages like that. In fact, there was even one time I had to tell the church, and this is not maybe everybody in the church, but I even had to tell one service. I said, I'll close the service down and go home. Why? Because I'm not going to sit here preaching to people who don't care. I'm not going to do that. And that's the boldness of God that comes on you in the pulpit. And thank God for, you know, I'd never be that bold in person. I really wouldn't. But when the Spirit of God comes on me, I'll tell you, boldness comes out of me. Sometimes I'll say things that later on, I'm like, oh God, did I say that really? But I knew it came out by the Spirit, amen? See, because God wants to correct things. He needs to correct things in us. He constantly did. He always did. Why? Because people have this draw naturally to go back to the world, to go back to the vomit, to go back. It's always a draw to go back to where you were before, even though it was bad. And we see that in Scripture, and we use examples of that, but praise the Lord. But you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure, for His good pleasure. When it says He works in you to both to will, it's not talking about His will. He works in you for your will. You need to will for His to and then actually do. You need to will to do and then do His good pleasure. You need to will to do and then want to do. You need to want to do what God wants you to do, and then you got to do what God wants you to do. See, there's so many people that will say, it's like, I will do or I want to do this, and then don't. Well, praise the Lord. Or people will say, well, I'll support that cause, and they do for a week, and then they, you know, forget about it. Because they haven't made it important in their life. They haven't stirred it up. They don't continually come to God and say, Lord, what is Your will for this situation? There's people that will come into church for a time and then they'll leave church and then go down the road. Praise the Lord. We've had people do that. Just 3 short years, we had people come and then they leave. And they go down the road and it's like, well, God called you there. Where's God calling you to be? He didn't call you to be unstable. He called you to be planted. Planted. Hallelujah. Glory. Some people are laying half out of the pot with maybe one root still in the dirt. And then they wonder why they're not, you know, people aren't picking their oranges off them. You know what I mean? Or their apples. They ain't coming to them for the apples. They're going to the ones that are planted and rooted. Yeah, those are the ones that God, because God is calling us higher. He's calling us higher. Praise the Lord. And see, part of all this, too, is desiring what God wants to do. Because, see, God can't do all. People say, well, why? People have a hard time believing what God did before. Do you know Jesus laid hands on a man whose ear had just gotten cut off and the ear reappeared? It doesn't say He went down, picked up the ear, slapped it back on His head and stapled it there. It said He reached up where there was no ear and there was another ear that appeared. Now, why do you suppose that happened? Because the power of God was working. Where does the power of God flow? In those who are hungry for it, those who desire it. But see, the thing is, that for to people, it's not enough to desire. Most people just desire enough to fix their own mess and then to hell with everybody else. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Let's see if... Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. If people realize the importance of what we do here, there wouldn't be a family church that wouldn't be paid off right now. I'm telling you right now, because people would be pouring everything they could into it and wanting to plant more. Why? Because God is trying to do something on the earth. But until somebody takes it there, until somebody pays for it, until somebody pays the price for it. And when I say pay the price, I'm not just talking financially. I'm saying until somebody gives up their Saturdays and say, hey, I'll go plant a church. Or until somebody gives up their weekend to go do something else. Praise the Lord. I know what it's like. I know how the feeling is. But you know what? I also know how good God is. And I know how important what He's doing is. I know what's at stake. And that's why I keep doing what I do. It's why I keep going around the tree. Praise the Lord. It's why you will feed people that will bite you. Yeah, you'll feed people that will bite you. You'll feed people that will next day, one day they'll love you. The next day they'll hate you. Jesus did the same thing. Why do you do it? Because you love God's people. You want to see them help, praise the Lord. It's not speaking about His will, but ours. We need to will to do God's purpose. We need to will. We need. Listen, sometimes you don't want to do it. Sometimes I don't want to do it. What do? We have to stir ourselves up. We have to say, hey, I'm going on with God. I'm going into the things. I want to see Your power, Lord. We just need some people to just get down on their knees. And I'm not saying necessarily, like, you don't have to get on your knees to pray. But to get down on your, metaphorically, to get on their knees and seek the Lord and say, God, what do I have to do for Your kingdom to bring this power in? God, what can I do to promote Your goodness? And He'll lead you. Amen. If you're willing, praise the Lord. Now look at, go ahead and turn with me to Luke 11. Praise God, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. God is so good. He wants to lead us, guide us. He wants to take us into all the things that He has for us. But we have to be willing to go. But see, and this is the one thing that people don't understand about God. So many people, this is a huge thing in the church world, what we're talking about here tonight. This is a huge, huge, huge issue in the church world, is that people do not realize that God is not just coming to them. He is not just... There's a blessing. People are waiting. People are sitting around waiting for God to just throw a blessing their way. They sit in their chairs like bumps on logs. They're sitting there waiting for God to just cast something their way. And see, the whole time, He says, you've got to come to Me. Praise the Lord. You know, as a pastor, I go through this. Yeah, as a pastor. I've made a few mistakes. I'll just share that with you. I was going to preach a message on it not too long ago. But I'll just share with you. It's not my job to receive you. It's not my job to clean up everybody's mess. It is not my job to check up on you. If I don't know what's going on in your life, it is not my job to go there and make sure everything is fine. Sometimes I do by the Spirit, because you also deal with people that, you know, sometimes need to be taught that. But it is not my job to go after you. As a mentor, I remember when I was mentoring with my pastor, when I started that. I went to him. I remember he preached a message about it. And I remember this idea that he preached. I don't even remember what the scriptures were, but I just remember the premise of what he was preaching. And it was people that were running after the things that they were after. And see, I learned that principle early on. And so that's why I moved up in the ranks, so to speak. That's why I continually grew in the things of God. That's why I grew in closeness to my pastor, to the point where I'm one of the first people he'll pick to be around him. If he wants to do something. I mean, just something casual. Well, why is that? Because I received him. I wasn't trying to get somewhere. I was trying to get into what God had for me. So when something was stirred in me, I received him. I went for him. I made appointments with him. He didn't make appointments with me. Praise the Lord. Why? Because that's what hunger does. Hunger goes after it. Hunger doesn't wait until somebody throws the morsel to him. Hunger's going to look for food. We got a raccoon that was hungry. At our house. I this thing is so stinky. I know they're dangerous, and I know, or they can be dangerous, and I know they can be destructive, but this thing is stinking cute. I mean, it's a little girl raccoon. I just knew because she showed us everything. She stood up one night and she's like, hey, girl. See, it was that easy. Praise the Lord. Wasn't it confused raccoon? It was easy to know what kind of raccoon it was, but at any rate, she stands up there, or we should say we noticed what she didn't have too, praise the Lord. But she stood up on our porch, and she climbed up on the, I got a video of it, I'll show you sometime if you want, but she climbed up on the railing, and she's getting into the bird feeder, you know, but she was after it. And I'm standing there at the door, and I'm saying, and I start talking to her. I mean, I'm 3 feet away from her. And I'm talking to this raccoon, and she's just looking at me, and she's gobbling up, and she's like, as long as I wasn't opening that door, she was after it. Well, she was hungry. She went where it was easy. You know what? The next night, guess where she came? Back to the same feeder. Well, she knew it was easy. She was going after it. She wasn't waiting for me to go out there and feed her. She's like, if I wait for this Yahoo to feed me, I'm going to go hungry. So what did she do? She got after it. That's what hunger does. Hunger goes after it. Hunger gets in the bird feeder and says, I'm cleaning this thing out tonight. I don't care. I don't care. I'm cleaning out. Why? Because it's my food right now. Hallelujah. I'm after it. See, that's the same thing in the body of Christ. The same thing with God. If we stand there waiting for God to sprinkle us with some sunflower seed, we're going to be waiting a long time. This is why the church world goes unblessed. Why? Because they are not after the promise. God said, this is what God said. He said, this is what I'll do for you. This is how I'm going to do it. And this is what you got to do to obtain it. God says it. It says it all through the word. And yet people still reject it. People still sit there and say, well, you know, I don't know about all that. Well, they don't have it. But that's the way it is. What's the difference between me and somebody who does? I've said this before. There's a man that I used to work with. The pastor put us together kind of as a way to me to help him along. And he continually chooses not to do what I've told him to do, what God has said to do, the things that will bless him. The only difference between him and I, is that I do, he don't. Why do I walk into the blessing of God? Because I do, he don't. And then people sit there and they say, well, I'll never have. Well, then you never will. Praise the Lord. Luke 11:9. If you speak negatively all the time, there's another reason just to come to church is because if you're in the right church, they're not going to sit there and help you with your negativity in the sense they're not going to help you go down that road of stupid talking, stinking thinking. They're going to change the way you're thinking. They're going to tell you, wait a minute, that's not right. Don't say that. Well, praise the Lord. Luke 11:9, Jesus said, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. Ask is an action on your part. Seek is an action on your part. Knock is an action on your part. He didn't say sit there in a chair praying to me, waiting for me to drop it in your lap. He said ask, seek, knock. You know, in James, it tells us that you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. You don't go to God in faith. You don't go to God and say, hey, Lord, I want this to change. Praise the Lord. People, see, it's real simple. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Does that mean that you ask and you're going to receive the first time you ask? Probably not. Does it mean that if you seek? Seeking, just the very premise of seeking is, and see, all these things work together. These aren't three separate things. It's not saying, well, if one of you ask, you'll get it. No, you ask, seek, and knock. You're doing things. You're asking. You're seeking. You're finding out what you got to do. When we started this church, praise the Lord, when we were going to be separated, my pastor said, okay, this is what we'll do. We'll pay for the Jamestown Church would pay for the lawyer fees and all that stuff to separate us. But you got to walk it out. So what does that mean? I never started a church before. I didn't know what all the legal stuff was. There's a lot of legal stuff in a church. Yeah. I didn't realize this. To get incorporated, get your 501c3, get all these things that you need to get. There's a lot of stuff in all that. I didn't get a lick of training on that stuff. I went to the school of hard knocks, brothers and sisters. It was difficult. There was times where I was knocking with my head. Because I was tired of it. I was like, I don't know. But what did I do? I'd call the lawyer and I'd ask. I'd ask him when I just didn't know. And see, I had to go pursue it. If I didn't do those things, we would have never got the stuff. It wasn't easy. It wasn't fun. But that's besides the point. If I wanted a church that was done the right way, we needed to do these things. But the same thing goes with everything in our lives. Praise the Lord. Verse 10, for everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. To everyone. Is there anyone excluded in everyone? No. But is there anyone excluded? Absolutely. Because some people don't ask, seek, and knock. Some people aren't doing it. You remember hide and seek? Do you remember? Can you imagine playing hide and seek? We used to play sneaks. We used to love it when we were kids. But we would have like a big couple properties or whatever that we'd play this in. My cousins lived out in the country and probably about 5-6 acres that we'd play on, you know, of manicured lawns and trees and stuff and houses and barns and all that stuff. So there's lots of places to hide. And we would go out at night. We would love this. This was one of the most fun things to do in the summertime. We would go play sneaks and we would go out and we would hide in a tree and we would hide. And one person would count to 100. And then when it was time, when they got to 100, ready or not, here I come. And they'd come around searching for people. But they didn't like open their eyes and say, well, I don't see anybody. Guess it's over with. Yeah. Game over. I guess I lost. That isn't what seeking is it? They call it hide and seek. God has placed things on this earth for us to find. The Bible says that he put the gold in the land and the gold was good. But God didn't put the gold on the surface. Why? Because it was precious. He hid it. He said somebody's going to be hungry for it is going to find it. Yeah. That's the same thing with oil. God put that in the earth. It's in the earth. It's for us to find. It wasn't just there readily available. Why? God has put everything here for us, but the precious stuff, we're going to seek it out. I said the precious stuff we're going to seek out. We're not going to get it just by running into it. This isn't a lottery. This is why I hate the lottery. This is why I hate things like the lottery. Because all it does is convince people that maybe they'll get rich when the Bible says, hey, I'll make you rich. You say, I don't have any problem with you getting rich. You just do what I say. I'll make you rich. But see, people would rather be able to scratch off a ticket and get that million or fill in a few numbers and get that million. They'd rather do that because that's easy. See, it's a lot easier to do that than it is to seek God for it, to do the things that he's said to do. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 11, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now I want to bring up something here because this is something we need to understand. Every Christian who has received, and that's a person who has received Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior, every Christian receives the Holy Spirit upon salvation. Praise God. What he is talking about here is not that receiving of the Holy Spirit. Because what does it say here? It says your Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to him who asks. Ask. If you ask him for it. This is what we call the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, we're not going to go into how do I know all this because there's a lot of teaching on this. There's a lot of other scriptures, and I'm not teaching on that tonight. But there is a difference. You see, this is why we have to know scripture, study scripture, because if we just read this, we just like, oh, we just get the Holy Spirit when we ask. Right? We get the Holy Spirit, and then they mix up with Christianity or when you get saved and stuff like that. And that's not what God is talking about. What God is talking about here is the power of the Holy Spirit. All Christians have the Holy Spirit in them, but only some Christians walk in the power of the Spirit. There's a huge difference. How do I know this? Look at the Christians you know. Look at the Christians of the world. Spend one afternoon and listen to Christian radio. That'll help you. That's where the thoughts of people are. They have no idea what the power of God is. They have no idea what God has prepared for them. They have no idea. They don't seek out the power of God. See, this is exactly what I mean. You can come to God and you say, Lord, I want salvation, and you can get saved. And then you come into church and you sit there and you listen to the word and you go through your life. I know Christians who just go to church on Sunday. They live the rest of their life the way they live. We actually, all praise the Lord, we just recently were talking to some Christians. And they're believers, all right. They believe in God. Don't go to church anywhere, of course, but they believe in God, all right. And, you know, their life, and they were talking about their lives, and they were talking about the boats, and they were talking about the projects at home, and they were talking about the this and that and all this stuff that they got to do. And not one thing did they ever say about the Lord. Not one thing did they see about seeking God. Not one thing was even in them about doing the work of the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you're blessed, how about coming to church and being a blessing to the other people? Yeah, but some people get full, they walk out the door, they get full, and they go on and they live their own lives. And they say the things they want. Oh, yeah, and they'll sit there and they'll pray when there's a trouble. But when, if God answers them, then that's where they leave it. And then they go on living their lives. Because there's some, at some point, it got into people's heads that it's okay to disconnect from God and live your life the way you want to live it and forget about God altogether. But God said, you're not going to have my power. You're not going to have the things that I provided for you. You're not going to have everything. You're not going to walk in the fullness of that unless you desire it, unless you come to me seeking it, unless you knock, seek, and ask. Hallelujah. Unless you do all the things that I've told you to do, you're not going to. Why? Because it's precious to God. His power is precious. He is not going to give it to people who are just going to cast it aside and not care. He wants people hungry for his power. He wants people thirsty for him. He's not okay with people who just want to come to him when they want blessed. He wants people coming to him, seeking him, saying, God, what can I do for you? God, how can I help you? What can I do for your cause? God, how can I build your kingdom? Hallelujah. This is the difference between a church that preaches the word and churches that don't preach the word. They will never see the power of God. Why? Because they're afraid they'll offend people. They're afraid that somebody, if you tell somebody they're wrong, well, you can't tell people they're wrong. You can't talk about tithing in churches. Well, fine, then have a church that doesn't, isn't ever supplied for. Why? Because until the people hook up with it, it's not going to be supplied. Praise the Lord. That's why we have to pay for the bill for Corey. Because there's not people there that know all this yet. But eventually, they will have to cover their own costs. They will have to, and they may plant other churches. Why? Because that's what God has called us to do. Put all of our resources, everything that is in us, into his kingdom and say, God, it's all yours. But see, most people, they go to God, they pray for their desires. They pray for their wants. They pray for their needs. They pray for what blesses them. They pray for their help, and they don't pray for anything else. Most people, if you're, listen, Christian, and I was this Christian not too long ago. But if you go to God and all you ever talk about with God is what you need or what you desire, you're already off. Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus said, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. You don't have to pray for a lick of things. Nothing in your life. You don't have to pray for nothing in your life that you want or you desire. God will add it to you if you're faithful to him. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to release a prayer for something you want or to just say, you know, Lord, this is what I have need of or something like that. There's nothing wrong with doing that. In fact, we're told to do that. But what I'm saying is you ain't got to dwell on it. If you're thinking about your stuff all the time, you're already off. I'm not saying this to hurt you or condemn you. I'm saying, listen, if you want to receive what you want, then start putting God first and watch it just happen. These testimonies that we gave on Sunday, they only happen in people who decided, at least for those things, to put God first. They only happen for those. Why does one person get healed and another doesn't? Because one person puts God first and the other won't. One person sits there and says, you know what? The word says that I got to speak right to have what I want. So they sit there and speak right. And then that's why they get blessed. That's why they walk it out. It isn't because God isn't willing to. But you talk to some people, you're like, you got to speak right. And they're like, oh, I don't want to say that. Well, then don't have what God has for you. Praise the Lord. You know, see, God, we're not trying to condemn people or come down on people. We're just trying to tell people, listen, God's way works a certain way. It's like no different than anything else in life. You have so many things. You have cars that you drive. Praise the Lord. You don't just put water in your gas tank and expect to go. What do? You go to the gas station because you know that's the way that it works. Praise God. Hallelujah. You pay your utility bills. Why? Because winter comes around sooner or later. And you want to be warm in that winter time, right? So what do? You pay your bills. And what happens when you pay your bills? Your electric stays on. Your gas keeps flowing to your house, praise the Lord. Or they deliver it or whatever. They deliver the wood. However it comes to you. But you understand you got to pay for it. So you know that when you do that, you're going, if you do A and B, you're going to get C, praise the Lord. It is the same way with God. God is not working against the principles of the world. He said, look at the way the world works. That's how the kingdom of God works. Why? Because God set up the world to work that way based on the kingdom of God. See, we always hearken back to the kingdom of God. That's why we go back to Genesis and say, hey, how did God do this? And if I see how God did it here, then I know that's how he's going to do it here. How do I know that? Because God is God and he does not change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is God. He does not change. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. If God loved Adam so much that he put him in blessing, then he's going to love me so much he'll put me in blessing. All I got to do is what God says to do and he'll do it. Praise God, but we just have to We have to stir ourselves in these things. We have to be hungry for God because we have to understand that these precious things are precious to God, and you don't give something that's precious to dogs. Praise the Lord. We were given strawberries this last week. Our brother Mike gave us a whole 8 quarts of strawberries. Praise the Lord. And on top of one of these things was a strawberry that was so mammoth. I've never seen a strawberry that big. Well, that thing sat in the fridge. It was so precious. I'm telling you right now, it was so precious. We weren't just going to like you could leave your hands off that strawberry. We're going to do something with that strawberry. I don't know what we're going to do. And ultimately, it ended up getting a little bit bad because we were waiting for it to do something precious with it. You know what I mean? Because it was precious. You don't get strawberries like that. In reality, it tasted just the same as the other strawberries, right? I mean, you ate part of it. Yeah, it tasted pretty much the same as the other strawberries, just a little bit more well done because it sat for a little bit longer. But had we eaten it right then, it would have tasted just the same, but it was precious. We looked at it as precious, so we set it aside. That's it. Not just anybody can eat it. You know, you have to be really cute and small to eat it. You can't be ugly and big. Praise the Lord. Did that point over this way? I'm sorry. Sorry, Caleb. Praise God. It's important that we understand the principles of God, but we can learn from this stuff. We know that when we got something that means something, when you got grandma's special china thing or something like that, you don't just throw it in the drawer, you don't just toss it in some cabinet. No, people build shelves for stuff like this and they put it on display. Why? Because it matters to you. I said it matters to you, and God's the same way. His power matters to him. His precious anointing matters to him. He doesn't just give it to everybody. He doesn't just put the office on everybody. He doesn't just put the ability on everybody. He waits for people who are hungry, the people who will walk in it. And guess what? Those people are the ones that have it light and easy. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to look, we're getting close to the end here somewhat. We're going to look here at Acts 1:4 through 5, and then we're going to skip down to verse 8. So we're going to look at Acts 1:4 through 5. Again, these are scriptures we've been in, but I want to show them for the sake of the message tonight. I want to show you this common theme, again, comes up over and over. Praise the Lord. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now think about this. They didn't come to God per se, but what would have happened if they had left? See, Jesus gave them the direction. The direction was, you wait here. If they hadn't been there, it would have been, go there. Praise the Lord. Because this is where it's going to happen. Does that make sense? He was giving them direction. What if somebody said, you know what? We've waited here, 2 days. I'm tired of waiting. Is it any different than being tired of or not wanting to go? Seriously, I mean, think about that. Is it any difference? There's no difference at all. If they got up and said, well, you know what? I'm hungry. I'm bored. I want to go do something I want to do. You don't think they had days where they wanted to do things? Praise the Lord. But Jesus said, wait. Jesus said to seek him. Jesus said to knock, to ask. Praise the Lord. This is what they were doing. Now look at verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Praise God. Just in case you didn't know, this word power is real interesting in the Greek. This word power means miraculous power. That's a pretty big thing right there. Miraculous power. What did Jesus walk around with? Miraculous power. That's how he could lay hands on the sick and they could recover. Why don't we see that today? Because people aren't coming to God seeking him. People aren't coming seeking the power. People aren't coming to God saying, you know what? Lord, I'll put my stuff aside. These people put their stuff aside to get the power of God. The power of God ain't going to happen if people don't put their stuff aside. I said the power of God isn't, you know what? Praise the Lord. You know, thank God for all kind of, people willing to do stuff. But people, the biggest, most important thing that we can do is seek God's power and do the things that facilitate it. You know, I mean, you can serve God, and we have a church of great helps where people will serve. They'll do things, you know, they'll do the different departments. They'll clean the church. You know, the church, we don't come in, the church is messy and nasty. Praise the Lord, we come in, the church is clean and the bathrooms are clean. And that's because people have been here. Praise God for people like that. But I'm going to tell you right now, I would rather have a church full of people who are hungry for God. And I'm not saying our church isn't hungry for God, but you understand what I'm saying is that we have to understand what's most important. You know what I mean? You can't have one without the other, but we have to understand what's most important. You know, we don't want to get before Jesus and say, Lord, you know, I did everything I needed to do. I built the church. I built churches. I did these mission trips, but I never hungered for your power. You know, think about that. There's people, there's old denominations that will send people all over the world to get people saved, and that's great, but what about taking the power to the people? That's what will change the world. Amen. Praise God. Miraculous power, ability, abundance. I love that. That's part of this word, power. Abundance. Violence. I love that too, because that's not a word you would think that you would see in there. But it's indicating the power to utterly destroy. What would we need that power for? How about when somebody is standing there before you and they've got cancer on their body? How about when somebody's standing there bound up by the devil because they're so bound by addiction they can't break free by themselves? This is what we need the power to destroy. This is where we need that violence. Where we look at the things that come against the kingdom of God and we say, uh-uh. Praise the Lord. In the words of Pastor Scott Webb, not today, motor scooter, hallelujah. Not today, motor scooter, ain't going to happen here today. Violence, hallelujah. It goes farther than that, though. Moral power and excellence of soul. Moral power and excellence of soul. Soul is our mind. Moral power, the ability to live right. The ability to think right, to get over those thoughts, to not let those thoughts control you. That's what the Holy Spirit does in people. How do you know people that are full of the Holy Spirit? They think right. They get over the thoughts. They get beyond the thoughts. They break through to the other side. Why? Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. The power and influence which belongs to riches and wealth. This is all in the concordance. This is what this word means. Power and resources arising from numbers. Power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, and hosts. Hallelujah. Why is it important that we come together? Because there's power. There's power. What happens when you bring your resources and I bring my resources and she brings her resources and he brings his resources? We have everything that we need. God has put it all in the church, but some people, there's so many people in America, we're so selfish. Like, I earned it, it's mine. Now listen, I am not advocating for this socialist junk society that a lot of people are. That's straight from the pit of hell. And if you believe in that stuff, well, shame on you. Study it out and see what it does. It always leads to dictatorships. It always leads to people having control, and so they can suppress the gospel. There's no such thing as Christianity being allowed in a socialist government. Have you ever thought why? Listen, socialism, the point of that is to destroy the work of the Lord. People are not meant to be in control of being controlled by the government. God wanted his people free. That's why if you get people saved, then in a capitalist society, if you get people saved, then bosses will act right. Business owners will act right, but not all of them are acting wrong. And that's the thing that we forget. There's many people out there, you take the Hobby Lobbies and stuff like that, who are treating their employees well and they're doing good things with their money, but they couldn't have that in a non-capitalist society. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is what God sees. See, this is the whole thing. You know, people argue politics all the time, in the church, out of the church. But here's the thing. Politics is real easy when you're a Christian. If you go by the word of God, politics is really easy. First of all, if it binds you, if it tries to control you, it ain't of God. If it tries to kill babies, it ain't of God. If it tries to make homosexuals marry, it ain't of God. It's that simple. It's that simple. You look at the destruction in our society. Everything that the liberal government wanted, In the last 10 years, everything they were getting all of it. And how has it helped our society? Hasn't, not a lick, not an instant has it helped anything. But what do you see? The poor has gotten poorer. The people who have not have had less. Listen, you had the whole, for a whole while there, we had the whole government controlled by these people. Yeah, the whole government was controlled by them. They could have done all the laws they wanted to pass, they could have passed. They still didn't do all the things that they said they would do. But the whole government was controlled by them. And what did the people have? Why? Because people are putting faith in government, not in God. People are putting faith in government, not in God. You put faith in God, I don't care who's in the White House. Yeah, it doesn't matter. If you have your faith in God, you can control that. You should control that. But see, Christians, get so wrapped up in the world that they start thinking like the world, and that's why they go vote stupid. And you know what God says? God says, have what you want, and steps back and lets his people have what they want. I'm not joking. This is why people, see, there's so much more to this world than the natural things. But if you're so caught up in the natural things, then you'll never understand what God is really doing or what God is trying to do, and you will be overcome by the devil. Do you realize this country? I'm not saying everything was perfect about this country, but this country was built on Christian principles. The ideas, our Constitution is so perfect because it was Christian in origin. It was God's laws that determined these laws. That's what we had. That's why we have the freedoms we have. And people think for some reason, if we start going to live like China or Russia or like Europe, that all of a sudden we're going to start having better than what we always had. It only got worse because people stopped doing the Word of God. People pushed God out of government. They pushed God out of everything. And they expect, oh, praise the Lord. I don't know how I got in this ramp, but it's good. Hallelujah. Because we don't continually seek God. Do we go before God and say, Lord, who do you want there? Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. You can't be more. But see, if you don't think right, if you don't have the power of God flowing, you ain't going to think right. And that's why you're going to have what you have. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How do we know that the Holy Spirit is effectively working in someone? They will be drawn to where the power is. Is the Holy Spirit working in you? Do you find yourself just wanting more of God, needing more of God? However it's going to come. It isn't going to come unless you're hungering for God. Unless you have the Holy Spirit in you, he's going to draw you in. He's going to draw you towards the things. It's like a light, right? The bugs go to the light. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:21, we are fixing to close here. Colossians 1:21, the next set of verses we're going to read, I'm going to read Colossians, then we're going to read some in Hebrews. The ones in Colossians I want you to turn to, the ones in Hebrews I won't, but they basically say the similar thing. But Colossians 1:21 through 23 says, "And you who were once alienated and enemies in your own mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled." Okay, so before you came into the church, before you got saved, before you started seeking God, you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your mind, in the way that you thought. That's why the church, oh my God, this is why the church is still doing things so wrong in this country. Because they're alienated in God's mind, because they're not seeking God. They're going back to the vomit. They're going back to what they thought before. They thought for some reason that the power of God now is going to be controlled by natural things. Yeah. "Yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless above reproach in his sight." That's God's desire for you. The Holy Spirit will lead you to be holy, to be blameless and above reproach in his sight. This is what the power of God does. Amen. If indeed, listen to this, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. If indeed you continue in the faith, what is the faith? It does not mean, well, I'm going to continue to be Catholic, or I'm going to continue to be Baptist, or I'm going to continue to be Methodist. Those are not the faith that the Bible talks about. The faith that the Bible talks about is the belief, the trust in, the adherence to the Word of God. It is being saturated with the Word of God and saying, this is my guide. Not man, not ideas, not programs. This is my guide, the Word of God. If you continue in that faith, grounded and steadfast. Steadfast means you don't give up at every whim. You don't stop pushing forward. You don't let the devil knock you back. You press through because you're going to stay steadfast and are not moved away from the hope, the expectation of the gospel which you heard. You do not get moved away from it, which was preached by Paul. It is now being preached to you by me. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I'm preaching the same gospel that Paul was preaching. I am not preaching the gospel of tradition. I am not preaching the gospel of my own ideas. I am preaching the gospel that was preached and delivered to the saints, the epistles that Paul delivered to the other children of God. This is what Jesus has done. But we see, this is the thing. If we don't continue in that faith, then we are not going to be holy in God's sight. Then we go back to being alienated and enemies. See, people can fall away as easily as they came in if they don't push themselves into it. If you don't decide, I'm going on with God no matter what, no matter who goes with me or who breaks off and goes away, it doesn't matter. Listen, there's been times when I've looked at even losing family over this gospel. Yeah, there's been times where it's been like, you know what, family didn't even want part of it. And they said, you know what, and actually there's been lots of separation in our families because we continue on with the things of God and they don't want anything to do with it. But guess what? It doesn't matter. I love them. I want to see them all saved. But here's the thing. I'm doing this regardless. They don't control whether or not I serve God. Praise the Lord. And look at this. We're going to close with this. Just look at this up here, Hebrews 3:14. For we have become partakers of Christ. If, everybody say if. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. What was that thing that got you to come to God? What's that thing that got you to stay and get planted in the church? If you hold on to that thing, if you don't let go of that no matter what, if you keep that hunger inside you, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to see the power of God like you've never seen. Even today, he'll surprise you. Even today, he'll take you into more than what you ever had before. Praise God. Because God is an always increasing God. Amen?